Shalom everyone, and today we're going to study Parashat Vayetze. It's in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 10. Vayetze means, and he got out. Vayetze Yaakov in Be'er Sheva vayelech Haran. And Jacob got out of Be'er Sheva and he went to Haran. In order to understand this parasha, you need to understand Hebrew. So we'll try to explain, because like in all other verses in the Torah, there's so many hidden messages, information, wisdom for us. So the first, basically the story is about Jacob getting out of Be'er Sheva, where he lived with his family. We can say kind of troubled family, because one of the reasons he goes to Be'er Sheva is not just to get married, but to run away from his brother, twin brother, who'd like to kill him. Okay, so he goes, the story is that he goes from Be'er Sheva in order to get to Haran. Haran, that's a place that Abram lived for a while on his way to the land of Canaan from Ur. So we're talking about Haran, southeast of Turkey, in Turkey of today, Kurdistan. And some of the family was left over there, and we have over there the uncle of Jacob, Lavan, and he has two daughters, Rachel and Leah, Rachel and Leah. That's basically the story, how he gets there. He's marrying Leah, then he's marrying Rachel. Lavan cheats, is cheating him. He works 7 years to marry Rachel. In the morning, he realizes that was Leah. And the story goes on with the birth of 11 sons to Jacob. And when Rachel is pregnant with the 12th one, Binyamin, Jacob wants the system to be completed in the Holy Land. So he runs away. And it's covering the width, few decades of Jacob leaving, coming to Haran, then builds up his family, and as his family is coming to its completion, he moves into the promised land. What's in it for us? What do we learn about it? First of all, Parashat Vayetze is always being read in the month of Kislev, the month of miracles. It's not a surprise that we have amazing miracles being described in this parasha. What does it mean, miracles? It's issues that happen and they have no logical, normal explanation in the realm of the five senses. If you want a list of the miracles, we have them in the ancient translation of the Torah into Aramaic, Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, almost about 2,000 years ago, he translated the Torah into Aramaic, and we all know that a translation is also a commentary. Why? Because you cannot translate word to word from one language to another. You must explain, because one language is different than another and it's never exactly the same. So Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel starts his translation, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva vayelech Haran, and his translation says as follows in Aramaic, Chamsha nisin itavidu le'Yaakov bizman denafak mi Be'er Sheva. Five miracles happened to Jacob when he left Be'er Sheva. Nisa kama itkatsu she'oi deyoma utma shimsha. He's counting the miracles, and let us explain the story. Okay, Jacob is living Be'er Sheva. Now Be'er Sheva, geographically, is in the south of Israel. Basically, it's the middle, because the half size of Israel, the half south, is totally a desert. But in the Be'er Sheva is in the border between the desert land and the inhabited land. So Be'er Sheva was an amazing place for shepherds because during the winter you have a lot of space for sheep, and you have also enough wells, and because of the rains of the winter, and you can also move up when it's too dry to areas that are more they have more green stuff and herb and grass for the sheep, for the cattle and the sheep. So the major place most of the time, as we see for Abraham and later on for Yitzchak, is Be'er Sheva. So Be'er Sheva is in the southern part of Israel, okay? And he goes to Haran. On the way to Haran, he has the major road was going on the mountains of Israel, the ridge of mountains in the middle of Israel. Why? Because the coastal plain in those days was full of swamps, lots of malaria, was not very easy to pass through over there. So he went through the mountains, and then the story is that as follows, because there are five miracles that happened on that way. One, that it says that he, the first verse 10, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harana, Jacob leaves Be'er Sheva to go Harana, to Haran. Vayifga b'makom, verse 11, and he hits the place. And the word the place is, if we read the earlier parashot, it's always relating to the place, Mount Moriah, that place that later on King David bought it from the king of the Jebusites. King Solomon built the temple over there, and the second temple was built on the same spot 500 years later. Okay, the same temple that was destroyed in the year 70 CE. Now, so the place, it's called the place. The place, and we'll see soon. Vayifga b'makom, and he hits the place, which is a weird language. You say he arrived to the place, he reached the place, he passed through the place. Why hitting the place? Vayalen sham kiva shamish. And then it says he went to sleep over there because the sun set. So the miracle is that the sun that Jacob passed by, and then the sunset happened in the middle of the day, okay, as Jacob was just passing. So God was saying, whoever knows the geography, the highway 60 of today's mountain ridge of Israel is going up from Be'er Sheva up to Hebron, and then north on the mountain ridge, passing via Jerusalem, Nablus, Shechem, and to the north to Damascus, and over there, north to Turkey. Okay, so when you pass in Jerusalem, Highway 1660 of those days is again a main route in Jerusalem that passes just west of what is today Jaffa Gate. Now, Jerusalem of those days was much smaller, and it was south of what is today the Temple Mount, what is today called also the City of David. So if you are in a hurry and you pass by, you don't have to stay over there, but something weird happened. The sun set immediately, so Jacob had to find a place to sleep. How did he get again to Mount Moriah? Because there's still a length of maybe almost 1,000 meters, a little bit less, between Jaffa Gate and the place of the binding of Isaac. How did he get there? How did he find the place if the sun set immediately? Okay? So Rabbi Yonatan Ben Uzziel is teaching us that something happened over there that קפצה הרעה כמו יבהו יומה דנפה כזה לחרן. Rashi mentions that, and he says that basically what Jacob did, he made what is called kfitzat haderech. What does it mean, kfitzat haderech? Kfitzat haderech means when someone is, kfitzat haderech means in Hebrew, jumping of the road. The road is jumping, which means Jacob teleported himself from Beersheva to Haran. Okay? He wanted to get to Haran. He was in a very high spiritual level, as we're going to read before. He knew how to teleport himself, which means teleporting means that making a quantum leap, or in Hebrew, kfitzat haderech. What does it mean? You come out of one place and you reach another place without passing in any point in the way. Which means, although the straight line by, you know, geometry, the straight line is the shortest way between two points, but that is in our sensual, visible, logical world. There is a world, and today it's called the quantum mechanics world, the world which is in the real higher frequencies, in which energy, information, and matter can go from one point to another without being in any point in between. Okay? This is proven already in many experiments since the 70s. It was theorized in the 20s, I'm talking about the 20th century, in the 20s of the 20th century, when quantum mechanics had been created by Niels Bohr, basically, and then in the 70s of the 20th century, it started to be proven by more and more, and that's called, even today, quantum entanglement, which is a very hot topic today in the scientific, physical, and news of physics, because there's something very weird in quantum entanglement, which means two particles who leave the same spot in opposite directions in the speed of light, they're still connected to each other, and it doesn't matter if it is after an hour, a year, 200 million years, 200 billion years, they're still connected to each other, which means if something happens to one particle, the information affects immediately the other particle, which is totally against any thinking in modern physics till quantum physics, which means, according to Einstein, information or matter or energy cannot travel faster than the speed of light. And here, it jumps from one place to another without even being in any point in between. Can our brain accept that? No. It's called kfitzat haderech. Is that proven scientifically possible? Yes. One of the major ideas that our universe has no logical base, which means our logic is capable of explaining a very, very narrow width of reality. And therefore you need a higher level of understanding and wisdom in order to understand the big picture of how this universe functions. And Newtonian physics and even relativity, that is not enough to explain the whole width of physics the way modern physics discovered, especially during the last century. Okay, because after that we have also the superstrings theory and the singularity. All of that are based on on a science that is so much beyond our logic that really to prove, as the Kabbalists taught us from the beginning, that our brains are not capable and will never be capable of understanding fully of that physical nature of our reality. So what does that mean? What I just explained is just to tell everybody, oh, we are all so such fools that we have no idea about how things are happening and we have no hope because of that. No. The story of Jacob is to prove that we have a way to succeed, and here lies the story. Jacob, he's already on a very high level of wisdom when he leaves the land of Israel. It's not called the land of Israel yet, okay? He didn't get the name Israel yet, but well, let's call it the Holy Land, the Promised Land, the land that was promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and also for him. And that promise is being repeated again to him, to Jacob, by God in this parasha. Okay, so what the story is about, that as Jacob is leaving and he's making a calculated quantum leap, teleporting himself from Be'er Sheva to Haran, the legend says, God says, you're going away without saying goodbye? No, I'm going to mix up your coordinates and you're going to come to my place. And Jacob finds himself in what? In Mount Moriah, the same place that Abraham bound his father Isaac. And he's there and he wants to move on, and suddenly the sun sets, so he has to take to go to sleep. He sleeps over there. He doesn't realize where is he. We see that from the rest of the story. And then verse 12, Vayachalom v'ine sulam utzav arza v'rosho magia shomayma. And he has a dream, and he sees a ladder standing on the earth, and the head of the ladder is reaching the heavens. V'ine malachei Elohim olim v'yordim bo. And the angels of God are coming up and down that ladder. And then it goes on, verse 13. V'ine Adonai nitzav alav, and then God, Yudkei Vavkei, that's mentioned as Yudkei Vavkei, as a tetragrammaton, the name of God, nitzav alav, is standing above the ladder, or above him, and he says, I am God, the Lord of Abraham, of your father, and the Lord of Isaac. Ha'aretz asher ata shochev aleha lecha etnena uzarecha. The land that you lie upon, I'm going to give it to you and your offsprings. And here comes another legend that says, what does mean the land you're lying upon? You know, how big is the land somebody lies upon? This is a very small, tiny land. That's the size of a grave. So the legend says, God folded the whole land of Israel underneath Jacob. Okay? Which is, why do you have to do that? And the Zohar also says, why do you have to do that? It's like the land of Israel is big. If you fold it under Jacob, what's the purpose? What do you need to prove over here? And the Zohar says something very interesting. This is Zohar Parashat Kedushim in the old print, page 44, side 1. We learned, Melamed shenitkapla lo Eretz Yisrael, v'chi Eretz Yisrael. So we learned that the whole land of Israel has been folded under Jacob. Ech, the land of Israel, that is, it's a size of a land. Anyway, it's not a big land relatively to the rest of the world, but it's a land, okay? Millions of people live on that land. Ech ne'ekra mimkoma v'nitkapla tachtav. You know, how do you uproot a whole country and you fold it under one person? It's not acceptable. אלא ארץ אחרת עליונה קדושה יש לו לקדוש ברוך הוא. God has an upper holy land, And it's called the land of Israel. והיא תחת מדרגת יעקב העומד עליה. And this land is under that level that Jacob had reached already. והנחילה הקדוש ברוך הוא לישראל בשביל אהבתו אותם. And God gave that land. And we are talking about the spiritual holy land of Israel. He gave it as an inheritance to the nation of Israel because he loves them. So he can dwell with them, to lead them, to protect them. And this land is also called Eretz HaChaim, the land of life. Okay, what do we learn from what we just read till now? Because that can be a little bit mixing up. So let's start with a Zohar commentary about this issue. And I'm reading Zohar Sulam, verse 20. ודה סופה דמחשבה, באר שבע היו ויעקב אהל בעיר אישה למימנותה, כיוון ידבק במימנותה דה, יצריך לי להתבחנה, באו אתר דתבחנו אבן דילי, דעלו בשלם ונפקו בשלם. Okay, Jacob, when he lived in Beersheba, which means with his father and mother and his brother, he was busy studying. He says he was a tent dweller and he was studying. He was reaching a very high level of spiritual growth, being in Beersheba, but learning, it's not enough. Okay? כיוון שיעקב נדבק באמונה הזו, since Jacob arrived to such a high level of faith, or in a better word, connection to the spiritual realm, okay, היה נצרך להתנסות באותו מקום שנתנסה שם אבותיו. Now he needed to go through a test, which means in Hebrew the word test, as we learned, we'll see that some expressions repeat themselves for the last few parashot, since parashat Lech Lecha. Okay? And what are these terms that we have to learn them in order to apply them in our everyday life? First of all, in order to achieve that level of greatness, the level of spiritual awakening, perception, wisdom, mental power and so on, that you need to go through a low place. And there's a list of them. The Zohar says this is a list. There are five major tests. The first one was the tree of knowledge. Adam, in order to reach the greatness he was supposed to reach, he had to experience the challenge with that is called the tree of knowledge. He failed. Okay? The tree of knowledge test was in order for Adam to reach the highest level possible. He did not pass that test. Okay? The second one is Yain HaMeshaker, the wine that gets people drunk. Who had to pass that test? Noach. Read the story, Parashat Noach. Noach reached a very high level. In his level, he could secure himself, his family, and the animals that went with him, which means like the seed of the new world when the previous world has been exterminated because as a result of their behavior. Anyway, Noah had to be tested and he failed because he got drunk with the wine and he could not pass the test. The next test is called Mitzrayim, Egypt. Abram had to go by this. When we see that, Abram is moving out of Haran, going to Egypt, going to the land of Israel, the promised land, and then it's a famine and he goes to Egypt. He has to face there many, many challenges, and he does it right. He comes out of Egypt victorious and more powerful. Then he has another one, the Philistines. He has to be tested with that. And also, Isaac, his son, has to be tested with the Philistines also. Why the Philistines? The Philistines were representing a very low level of idol worshiping and negativity, and he had to be tested by this, both Abraham and Isaac. And the fifth one is Haran. Why Haran? Because each one of these tests is basically a different name for falling into the darkest place. Haran in Hebrew means wrath, anger, upset. Okay? Jacob had to go out of Beersheba, a holy place that was sanctified by Abraham and later on by Isaac. It was a place that was already full of positive forces of revelation, and Jacob had to leave that place and to go to Haran. Okay? So what do we learn from that? Is first of all, if there's a saying, Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim. The actions of the fathers are a sign for the children. We realize that Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and later on, all the great ones, Moses, Aaron, King David, you just name it, Joseph, every one of these great people, they had to go down to the darkest place in order to be able to reach out of that. Why? Let us explain. We can see it as an answer to a old age question, why can't life be nice, comfortable, safe, just, without fears, without worries, without sorrow? And whoever thinks life can be like this has no idea what he's talking about. Every human being has to go through that fall into some dark, very dark places. Why is it like this? And the answer is, when we come to explain the calling or the mission of a human being on earth, we know that we have one mission. The story that I love to tell about it is a story of Rabbi Chiya. It's called the story of Rabbi Chiya. You can find it in the introduction to the Zohar. And the story of Rabbi Chiya speaks about Rabbi Chiya, one of the greatest teachers in the ancient times. He was a disciple, very close disciple of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And he could not accept the idea that he cannot see his master, his teacher, after Rabbi Shimon left to the other world. So he wants to see Rabbi Shimon and to study with him. For that purpose, Rabbi Chiya, which is a very powerful person with very high level of spiritual understanding and learning, and he goes into a procedure of 40 days of learning, fasting, and praying, that after these 40 days is purified enough to reach out of his body to the gates of heavens and to ask over there to get in so he can meet Rabbi Shimon. And the Zohar is teaching us that he was told in the gates of the Garden of Eden, you're not worthy to come in and to see Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi Chiya is a very intense person. He doesn't take a no as an answer. And he goes into another 40 days of fasting, praying, studying, purification, meditation, and so on. And after another 40 days, he goes up to the Garden of Eden, and they tell him over there, we can't tell you no, you can come in. So he's escorted in, and he's brought to the Heavenly Academy, to that section of Rabbi Shimon. And as he coming in and he sees Rabbi Shimon, now we're talking about in the Garden of Eden. So he's seeing Rabbi Shimon sitting there and teaching many, many, many great souls. And Rabbi Shimon notices that Rabbi Achiah is coming. And he's so happy to see him. He said, oh, here's our friend Rabbi Achiah. Come sit next to us and learn with us. So it's an amazing story of Rabbi Achiah, explaining how does it look like in the Garden of Eden and how is it to study with Rabbi Shimon. And then he says, a very high soul is coming from another academy in the Garden of Eden. Seems to be there are many academies over there. There's the Academy of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so on. Every sage has his own great academy over there. So a very high soul is coming from another academy, comes to visit Rabbi Shimon, and that soul is noticing, according to the story, Rabbi Achiah sitting there. And that soul is raising a voice and proclaiming, who is this mortal that came into the Garden of Eden? Because, and that's what's important in that story, because here in the Garden of Eden, there's a place only for the ones who turned the darkness into light and the bitter into sweet. And that summarizes the story. Although it's a bigger story, much bigger, but this is for us, which means every human being, when we come to this physical earth, into a physical body, we're not here to experience a nice, comfortable, safe life. That's not our mission. This is not our goal. Although this is what we learned since childhood, that our dream is about having a secured, nice, safe life. And we work all our lives and do our best, earning money, status, finding a place, a home, a house, whatever. And the main thought is, how do I secure my life and my family from great disasters, from disappointments, and so on and so forth. And we look at the history of humanity, and we realize how futile is that mission. So it's after so many thousands of years, we didn't realize that this is not achievable. Why? Why is that not achievable? And the answer is that if everything is secure and comfortable and just and logical and reasonable and safe with no surprises or disappointments, you can never turn darkness into light. You can never turn the bitter into sweet. And that is our mission. We're not here in this physical world to be in a physical body in order to feel comfortable and safe. This is not the goal. So what's the goal? As we said, we're here to transform. We're here to change. Getting out of the box is our mission. It's our calling. It's not something that we do once in a while because it's nice or because you decide to be an innovative person. It is our life mission. So when it says that Jacob is getting out of Be'er Sheva, the word is getting out. He's not leaving. He's not walking to Haran. You know, many commentators are saying, why the when you leave, when you go from New York to, let's say, Miami. So you go to Miami. You don't have to say that you leave New York because everybody gets it. That if you went to Miami, you had to get out of New York. It's redundant. You don't need to add that you leave. So why the parasha didn't start with Vayelech Yaakov Charana, and Jacob went to Haran? Why does it have to say, and Jacob got out of Be'er Sheva and went to Haran? So we studied in a previous parashot about Abraham and Isaac, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rivka, all of them. They are the mountains. They already climbed up those levels. They already planted the foundations for our spiritual work. And what do we learn from that? Don't try to look for safety, don't try to secure your life, because that's not going to work. You do your best in order for one point. How do I get out of the box? And the box has seven directions: right and left, forwards and backwards, up and down, and you are number seven. Be'er Sheva is the well of seven. That's the box that you have to get out in order, and that's why. So how do I get out of the box? First of all, you'll have to get out. What if I don't want to? What if I want everything to stay the same? You know, from history, it never stayed the same. Maybe in my lifetime, it never stayed the same. First of all, you never stay in the age of 20 or 30 or 40. The years are passing by and things are changing. Biologically, physiologically, people are growing up. The people who are your friends, either they move on and move out, either some other people coming and move in to your frame, neighborhood, business and stuff like this. The world is ongoingly changing to force us to transform. But the worst of that, the worst, which is the greatest of them all, every human being has, the Zohar is teaching us, something that is called surrounding light. What does it mean, surrounding light? We have also internal light. What's the difference between internal light and surrounding light? Whenever we, as souls, experience challenges, and instead of blaming, focusing on the pain, feeling like victims, being in a dark place because how dare the universe let me into such suffering and pain, if we simply get out of that dark negative box and we, instead of going into mourning my pain, my loss, whatever you call it, and we say, okay, I have a choice. I can be stuck in the pain of what happened, the loss or disappointment, whatever you call it, or I can grow out of it. How do you grow out of something? You realize you need over here a quantum leap. Why? Because the logic, what's the thing about the quantum leap? The logic of where you are is not the logic of where you're going to be. There is no logical process and logical connecting line between where you are right now and where you're going to be when you get out of the box that is your current dungeon. Remember that. The internal light is the victories of the past and the achievements of the past and the revelations of the past that right now they determine the bright side of my personality, that side of my achievements that they make me feel that, you know what, I did something. You know what, I didn't waste my life and not my past lives. All of this worth that we have, the true worth, is called internal light, which means these are the spiritual fulfillment that we achieved through turning darkness into light, turning bitterness into sweet, turning a trouble into an achievement, making everything looks like a challenge and not disasters. How do you do that? That's why you have to study spirituality. That's why you have to study the Torah. That's why you need to learn to be thankful for everything that happens to you and to look at the reality around you as There are no disasters, there are no dark things and dark events and injustice. Whatever happens is happening for the good. Without that definition, you are not a spiritual human being. What does it mean to be spiritual? In Hebrew, the word for spiritual is ruhani. Ruhani means a spirit. Ruach means a spirit, but it also means that you actively go out of where you've been before. Why? Because you accepted upon yourself that you're not here in this world passively resting over your laurels. Spirituality means actively, consciously, always moving forward, always going one level and another. If we learn the previous parashot, it was always about it. Jacob, because he reached such a high level, he's capable of doing that quantum leap. He knows right now, this is my time to leap again to where, when you trust that this universe is made only for you to succeed, to achieve, to grow, to expand. So you have the trust like a little baby jumping from a high place to his father's hands because he knows that his father's arms are going to embrace him and save him from crushing on the ground. When we have that state of mind, that is the first condition of spiritual life and spiritual growth. That means we have to embrace whatever happens to us and to say always, this is for the good, this is a test, which means this is a way to help me to get out of my box. So that's why that's the exit, the getting out of Jacob. He needs to do that in few stages. So he has to get out of Be'er Sheva, which means the warm, comfortable place that his father and mother created around him. So why does he do it? Oh, the physical reason is Esav, his brother, wants to kill him. That's never a reason. There's always a higher reason. So we said the internal light is that light that we achieved by our spiritual growth. What is the surrounding light, or Mekif? Or Mekif, surrounding light, means the light the Creator is intending to me, but I did not acquire or earn it yet, and I need to achieve ownership for that light. What's the point with the surrounding light? The surrounding light is not passive. The surrounding light is very active, sometimes even violent. When a person is fortifying his surroundings, mental and physical, with all the possible means he knows, so everything will stay the same and I'll never have to change again, the surrounding light is stronger than all of our fortifications. And by the nature of the surrounding light, it has the power to break, smash, trash our fortifications. And we look at it as a disaster. We look at it as a loss, as an injustice. And it's just the surrounding light simply trying to get in, and because of that, in order to get in, he has to destroy our jail that we consider it as our home, but it's our jail. Okay? So the getting out is very crucial in a spiritual journey. And Parashat Vayetze is in the month of Kislev, the month of miracles. And as we learned, miracles is not something that falls on you from the heavens because of God's love to you. Miracles is something you generate. And the first and the most basic miracle is when a person is making all the effort possible to think outside the box. What does it mean to think outside the box? To have that faith that is something bigger, higher, more light, enlightened, more positive waiting for each one of us every stage in our lives. And that's what's waiting is my surrounding light. That's my real true calling. And if I'm not going to be always on the go in the journey of looking for that surrounding light, then that surrounding light will chase after me, and finally it's going to smash the walls of my fortified dungeon that I think that this is my extremely expensive fortified home, and it's not, it's my jail. So that means literally, that means mentally, that means by all means. So that's why when we see people losing whatever they thought, you know, that's my accomplishment, and who can take it away from me? And the answer is no, every human being must go through that place. One hand, it looks like a disaster. On the other hand, without that disaster, you'll never achieve the greatness that is waiting for you, and you didn't even know about it. So Haran is called anger, wrath. Jacob has to go to Haran. Who is in Haran? Lavan. Lavan was the biggest magician in the world, and he had terrible intentions about everybody, no matter if they are his children, his sister children. He's trying to cheat Jacob once after another. He doesn't appreciate the bliss that Jacob is bringing to him. He even wants to take revenge in his own daughter's flesh and blood because they joined and married Jacob. He married them to them. Lavan is a symbol of darkness. You know, it's a game, because Lavan in Hebrew means white. He was called white, but he was really Mr. Black. He was the epitome of evil, egotistic behavior, using all kinds of dark witchcraft in order to destroy everybody's life around him. And there's still people like this. You know, some people are saying, we have to take into consideration that people mean good. No, not all people mean good. There are always people that the dark side takes over in such a way that they become agents of darkness and pain, and you see they don't have logical behavior. They just mean harm. And you will see it along history, so many people, especially leaders, and you say, why did they make that step? Why making that decision? Basically, that decision hurt them. Why? They didn't have enough advisors to tell them that that's going to destroy them. They didn't realize it's bad. Every child 5 years old could realize it's a bad decision. No, it was a bad decision, but they had one thing: to inflict pain on others was more important than their own interest and benefit. And there are too many people like this. And why these people behave like this? When the dark side, that we all have that dark side, when we do not maintain an ongoing fight against that dark side, because without fighting the dark side, how can we achieve light out of darkness? How can we achieve sweet out of bitter? Only if we have a dark side. But the dark side therefore has to be strong enough to fool us once after another, so there is an ownership when we achieve a fulfillment of the surrounding light that was so far away from us. And finally, we can say, wow, that was a real quantum leap. That was a real, true, spiritual, mental achievement. This is thanks to the dark side. That dark side has agents. Those people that are not aware and they let the dark side take over, and therefore they have a behavior. If you look around the world politics, countries all over the world, people just next door, and you see why these people behave in such an evil manner. You know, you hurt other people, and don't you realize that there's a pay? You're going to be caught. It's criminals, whatever. People do stuff that, you know, we all do stuff. We all say things that, logically, why did I say that? It hurts me more than others for the long run. Eating stuff that are not good for me, smoking stuff, drinking stuff. It's like we all do that. We have those aspects to prove we have a dark side. Dark side means illogical behavior that is obviously, you don't need to be that smart, obviously against my interest. The same way we have that dark side, we have the light side that can take us to, again, places that are so illogically better than where I am right now. This is the quantum leap that we are talking about Jacob getting out. He is getting out of Be'er Sheva. He wants to get to Haran to simply have his own growth away from his father and mother. That he has to create that personality that is going to become later on Israel. That's a name that he gets when he comes back. More than 20 years later, when he comes back to the promised land, his name is fighting the dark angel. And his name is becoming, thanks to that, Israel. The one who fights with gods and win. Okay? The one who can fight. That's what we're here for, fighting. Fighting the darkness, fighting our dark side, fighting our dungeon, which is our old thinking. That's a point. So when we are talking about those illogical miracles that happened to Jacob, the Zohar is teaching us, and also some other commentaries, all of these are to teach us that we are not here for the gradual logical expansion and growth. We're here to achieve the impossible. People who just do all their lives just what's possible and what's logical, they're never satiated. They always feel that something is missing. Yes, I managed to have a life that is secure of surprises and disappointments. Everything went by the book. So why is it that I feel so depleted? Because we're here for the challenges. So of course, some people take challenges that are so illogical because they're challenges of the dark side. How can I hurt myself even more by bringing myself into obvious troubles? Here we are talking about Jacob. He wants to do this job, and what happens? He makes the quantum leap from Be'er Sheva, and he hits the place. That because he had a great intention, now it's my time right now to own my spiritual growth away from my father and mother, and now I'm ready to be able to fight with the darkness of Haran. He finds himself in the place. That place that what the Zohar is saying, which is amazing, when he gets up, he has that dream with a ladder, one of the most famous dreams in the history of humanity. And when he wakes up, after God is giving him again, reconfirming the blessing and the that God gave to Abraham and Isaac, I'm with you, I'll never leave you. Jacob wakes up, that's verse 16. Vayikatz Yaakov mishnato. And Jacob wakes up from his sleep. Vayomer achen yesh Adonai b'makom hazeh. Indeed, there is God in this place. I had no idea. That's when you make the effort, you'll reach a place that you've never been there before, that you've never seen and understood, never meant to. It doesn't matter where you get to. It's going to be out of your box. What matters is your intentions and the hard work. Then, when you make the quantum leap, you'll reach someplace good, safe. That's what real faith is about. So he continues, Vayira v'yomar, and he had awe. He was in awe. And he says, Man nura makom hazeh, how awesome is that place. Rabbi Ashok explains why the word awe appears over here. And by the way, Abram, in the same place, years earlier, after he completes the story of the binding of Isaac, and he says, and Abram calls the place Hashem Yireh. It's like this place is a place of awe. And here again, Jacob is calling it the place of awe. It's a place that is awesome. And Rabbi Ashok explains, awe means completion, perfection. Awe means that, A-W-E, awe. When do we feel awe? Awe is not fear. You feel awe when you reach a place that is so complete, so adorable, complete, so unimaginable, complete, that it gives you inspiration. It affects you. This is the place of the Temple Mount. This is a place of perfection. That's why it's called Shalom, Ir Shalom, Yerushalayim, the city of perfection, of completion. When people come to Jerusalem, they come to experience that completion, that when you really feel the presence of the frequency of completion, that's the surrounding light that we want to feel. That's a surrounding light of who we are supposed to be. To be in such a perfect place, being there, you can be only when you are in awe. What does it mean? When you are in awe, you are aware. You are awake. You are careful. You are respectful. You are in effort of keeping that feeling, because you know it's not coming for free. That's what Jacob is saying. He announces over there, this is the house of God. This is the gate of heavens. Every human being around the planet who wants to reach heavens, it's easier to reach that place using that awesome frequency of Jerusalem. This is the place that can help all of us to reach the fulfillment of our surrounding light. Okay? So therefore he calls it the house of God. Okay? The gate of heaven. Till today. Later on he goes to Haran. Still he goes to that mission with a, you know, he knows that's not going to be easy. The word Haran in Hebrew means wrath. Not by mistake. He reaches that place, there's another miracle. He reaches the place that, a well. And he asks, where is Rachel? Where is Lavan? He says, oh, Lavan is living here. And Rachel, his daughter, will come soon with the herds. With the herds. But we have to remove this huge stone from the well first. And if we don't have enough shepherds, we don't have enough manpower to remove the stone. As Rachel is coming, Jacob is so excited to see his soulmate. By himself, he removes that stone from the well, and the water come up and give water to all the herds around. It's a second and a third miracles There's so many miracles over here. The story is about miracles. The miracles is that we are human beings. We're here to experience the outside world, outside the five senses realm, outside the box, outside the dungeon of our brains and physical senses and other people's opinions. We're here to break through that. Parashat Vayetze is one of the greatest parashot of breaking that concept. So later on, when Jacob is marrying Leah, later on it realizes that without Leah, we wouldn't have six of the 12 tribes. Jacob is doing his best, and he gets much more than he bargained for. He just wanted Rachel. He comes out of, by the end of the parasha, four wives, 11, 12 kids, and one on the way. So he got much more than he bargained for. He is going to have 12 sons that are going to give all of humanity that aspect of getting out of the box of 12 signs of the zodiac, which means a person is born into a fixed luck. That was the attitude of the ancient world. Whatever is in the stars, you'll never be able to break through it. You'll never be able to overcome the limitations because you're mortal. And here, Jacob is giving us those tools. No, we are not mortals. Our bodies are mortals. Our soul is immortal. Our soul is divine. And we're here till we are going to internalize all the surrounding light. That when it says that there is another land, the holy land in the heavens, that coexists with the holy land on the earth, and we are the only creatures that can live in both lands. We can be in the box at the same time, know that we are destined to get out of the box again and again and again. What amazing parasha. Living like this is being a real human being. That's why we have to study the Torah. We have to study the Zohar. We have to believe in that. We have to have faith in that. We have to assume that this is the only way we can live because we have no other choice. Thank you so much. And a month full of miracles to all of us.